The Morning Invasion brings you Shock Therapy Live, featuring Pastor Nate Heitzig. Call now, 338-3700, or email us at studio@star88.fm.
Good morning. I have no idea what's going to happen here because my thing, the pauses thing, is not here, and I don't know what's going to happen when it gets to 41 seconds.
It's going to explode.
I know.
The end of the world countdown. We have like 11 seconds.
Kind of nervous.
Until everything ends.
Kind of think that it's going to be embarrassing and uncomfortable here in a second. But hey, welcome to the show. It's Shock Therapy Live. I'm Dex. Pastor Nate Heitzig is here.
American Journalist, Crash Course.
There we go.
There we go.
That'll work right there. Pastor Nate Heitzig is here. And his lovely wife, Janae Heitzig.
Hey.
Dude, stoked to be here. You guys started having a shock therapy conversation before shock therapy.
This is true.
We did. We kind of jumped the gun, didn't we?
Talking about the wacky tobacco.
What are your thoughts?
Dude, it's we were talking about it the other day. It's one of the things we've talked about, I feel like, more than anything else on Shock Therapy Live. And that is, you know, the use of medicinal marijuana, recreational marijuana, when it becomes legal. And I think you guys hit some really big points, some major points, is that you can't take you can't smoke a joint and not be high. You can drink a beer and not be drunk. And mm-hmm. and there's a big difference in that it really does alter your state of mind. And I know some people would say, no, it doesn't, but it does. You do things that you would not do when you're high. You know, you're more loose, you're more jovial, you're more fun. You're willing to do things that you wouldn't do were you not high. Yeah. And I know on the other side of the spectrum, some people say, well, that's just, you know, you get used to it and those effects wear off. The more you do it, the less you feel that way. Yeah, that's called being a drug addict. Mm. And that's why it's called a gateway drug, that after you've done it for so long, you want to do something else. And it's the same with alcohol. You know, you can drink alcohol to a point where you don't get as drunk as you used to, and that's called being an alcoholic. And so, I think that it definitely has its place within the medical realm. In the same sense as like oxycodone or Oxycontin, you know, those are prescription drugs that are prescribed for severe pain, for severe conditions, and they're meant to be used for a time and then not used after that so that you don't develop a chemical dependency on those subjects.
I'll never forget when I was in high school, I broke my leg in basketball and I was in pain, and my mom and dad didn't have insurance at the time, and so they couldn't afford a whole lot, but they decided, we'll get you a prescription of Oxy. And it was my first time ever taking a painkiller. And I remember it made me feel so good. And after that bottle was empty, I wanted more.
Yeah.
And I could totally feel why people want more, because it completely numbs you. I mean, if you are dealing with things inside of you, you know, whether it's relationship problems, family problems, whatever it is, and you want to just numb yourself because you can't deal with that pain inside, I kind of understand.
And that's, and you know, you just hit on a huge issue, and that's really the big subject, is as Christians, Christ is really supposed to be the prescription for those ailments in our lives. It's not supposed to be drugs. It's not supposed to be these chemical dependencies that we use those to get through the day. We use that to get over emotional pain. We use those issues to numb ourselves. Again, we as Christians have Christ, and that's really what the Bible means when it's talking about that we can't be controlled by the Holy Spirit and be drunk with wine, because you're really, it's a conflict of interest there, is that the Holy Spirit is supposed to be the one that as Christians comes into our lives and controls us, who gives us the peace that surpasses all understanding through Christ Jesus. He's the one who's supposed to guard our hearts, not drugs. And so,
okay, so I'll be devil's advocate. What if you have chronic pain and the doctor didn't prescribe you oxycodone or a drug that is strong enough to numb the pain or to take it away? Like, ibuprofen's not enough. So I choose to use these drugs.
Well,
I don't think you can choose to. I think what your choice would be is to go to the doctor and say, hey, these drugs that you prescribe me aren't working. What are the other options? And I know that for certain chronic pains, they will prescribe medicinal marijuana to be used on a consistent basis. And so I think that if the doctor prescribes that to you, then I think that's a different story than you deciding, you know what, screw the doctor, I'm going to do my own thing. Yeah, at that point, I mean, where does it stop? I mean, that really is the mentality of, I don't agree with what people above me tell me that I should be doing, and so I'm going to choose to do what I want to do, and I'm going to go to that extreme.
338-3700 is the phone number. It is Shock Therapy Live. We have Pastor Nate Heitzig here and his wife, Janae Heitzig. We have Steve-O. He's in the background. Oh. I don't have his mic on.
Oh.
There we go.
Hey, I'm here. I'm going to stop talking, though, because I'm still damaged by the fact that my topic failed because nobody
it
took it where, where I wanted
it didn't,
to.
It didn't fail at all.
Shout out to Thebes in Beaumont, California for being the only human that understood what I was saying.
I think
it's a hot topic,
well,
you know?
Well, the thing is, it would have gone in that direction no matter what, Steve-O.
Yeah.
Because that is, in as a Christian, I've had this conversation, I'm sure you guys have, with so many people out there that are trying to convince everyone that, smoking marijuana is okay.
Well, and I mean, and it's what I'm saying.
I try to convince Janae about that all the time.
It's not just like it's okay. We're talking about companies that are saying it's acceptable during your lunch break. So imagine, like, you go to a restaurant or somewhere where your waiter is obviously stoned. Do you really want to frequent that establishment? Which is what I was trying.
Yeah, and no, you don't. And but again, I think that the larger issue is again when you live in a culture that says that marijuana is okay to smoke outside of work, that there's nothing morally wrong with it.
Yeah.
The eventual end is that there's nothing morally wrong with it to smoke it anywhere, and so that becomes the issue. It is in a moral relativistic culture,
yes,
the line can't get drawn. Well, again, they do. You can have two glasses of, you can have two beers at your lunch break.
Yeah.
So
that
they
was, really?
They do
Max,
say that.
Well, at the place, the last place I worked, there was in the handbook, you could have like two was max. Hey, if you're going to go have, if you're going to go eat at lunch, you can have up to two brews.
But you can't drink
lunch.
In the office.
But yeah. No, you can't drink in the office.
And
you can't,
so you,
you know,
so you,
don't really, bring a flask.
We really live in a moral relativistic culture. You know, there's a lot of barbershops that have beer at the barbershop. You can have a beer while you're getting your hair cut.
Now, but having a beer while you're getting your hair cut and letting your barber have a beer
right.
are
totally
two totally different things,
totally
which is
different.
What I was trying to say.
But
I wouldn't go to get a haircut from a dude that was stoned because he'd be like, bro, you wrecked my fade.
Yeah, okay, but
you
this,
wrecked my
this
fade.
Company you were talking about, you didn't go into detail on what the company was, but it sounded like to me it was maybe a marketing firm, a place where people needed to open their minds and try
they're
to
like,
be
man, how can
not
I
at all.
How can
not
I, how can
at
I,
all,
how can I market,
actually.
How can I market the product without trying it?
Not at all. Well, like, well, the company that I worked for, or the company in the story?
In the story,
absolutely what it was about. So, and then there was something in there about during creative meetings. Like, imagine
so
during
does that
creative
mean at,
year.
Does that mean at Budweiser? Does that mean at Budweiser all the dudes just drink beer all day?
I'm willing to bet they're sampling the goods.
Yeah, I had some friends that were...
You have to make
were,
sure it has enough yeast.
It's a good,
and,
yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, well, Janae knows.
338-3700. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Oh, my gosh. I have so many things to say. I've been listening to you guys since before 9 o'clock.
Cool. Try to keep it short and sweet.
I'm
going
to try to keep it real, real
been
short.
Listening to you guys since 420.
We're talking about businesses that allow their people to either drink or smoke weed on the clock, but what does that do for the responsibility and liability of the company?
Right!
Because if you've got somebody, say a moving company, and you've got somebody that's stoned or drunk, moving priceless antiques or just furniture in general, you know, what if they break something? Then
thank
the company's liable.
What
if the employees get hurt? Then the company's liable for that. Why put yourself in a situation to make the workforce or the workplace more dangerous.
Yeah, or you could even say in the office, because it sounded like what Steve-O was saying, it was a creative type of environment. You know, someone trips and falls, you know, and hits their head on the corner of a desk.
Just,
you know, and they find out they were high.
It is to your
meditate.
Point.
I mean, there's so many other ways to open your mind.
Do yoga.
Yeah, you don't have to be moving furniture for it to be a liability. Again, you can be in any workplace environment. What happens is, as a company, you're really betting that your employees are all above par and that they're not going to sue you. But if they're all smoking pot, that's a very unlikely scenario. And so, I mean, again, if someone trips, they could blame, well, I tripped because I was high and my company said I could be high, and so I'm going to sue them. And so, I mean, just as a company, it's not a wise business move, you know, in any sense of the word. And again, it's a big liability for the company and for the people.
Thank you so much. 338-3700. It's Shock Therapy Live. Good morning.
Hey, this is Tom from Hobbs. How are you guys?
Hey, man. Good.
So, Steve-O, I heard what you were saying before then, and I'm sorry I couldn't call in earlier to help you out. But
thank you.
I think that the use of recreational marijuana in the workplace is not an okay thing at all.
Yeah.
I've never been a fan of marijuana in the first place, and I haven't really figured out what I think of medical marijuana. It sounds like if it's used responsibly, it's okay. But when you're taking it into the workplace and using it recreationally to, like, open your mind and stuff, that just seems like it's another
recipe for disaster.
The world is taking
you know what I think the biggest conflict of interest would be? If you were allowed to be high while working at Subway. Be like, what do you want on your sandwich? Oh, that's a good choice. Oh,
no, see, I feel like as a customer,
you want some chips? You want some chips with your sandwich? Get some chips.
If you're at a restaurant and the guy's like making your meal, I feel like it would be epic on the other side because that sandwich artist is going to make you the biggest sandwich you've ever seen.
Either that or the sandwich artist thinks it's an incredible sandwich and you're looking at it and you're like, what the heck is he putting on my sandwich? He's like, oh.
Bro, you got to get that oils, bro. You want
some ranch on your sandwich? Let me just couple.
I didn't know high people groaned.
That's hilarious.
I feel like they do.
Gosh, dude.
It is Shock Therapy Live. This is the hour where you guys get a call in and you can discuss what we have been discussing.
When else do you get to talk about pot on a Christian radio
exactly.
station?
Exactly. Or if, you know, you're dealing with something else in your life, you can call in as well.
You know, to that note, just to, you know, any parents that are listening, they're like, man, I wish my kids didn't listen to this. Here's the reality. In our day and age, kids are getting offered marijuana in junior high school. And
earlier than
I was just about to say, try elementary.
Would you rather
school.
Be able to have a conversation really? With your kids about it or have your kid come home and say, hey, my friend offered me marijuana today? Actually, I remember in fifth grade walking to school, I had a friend who was talking about marijuana and talking about, you know, that he had a friend who had some. And it was so foreign to me. I was like, is it like a cigarette? Is it like, how is it? Like, it was just a weird conversation. And so I think you want to have that conversation with your kids instead of your kids having that conversation behind your back at school and then finding out, you know, 2 years in high school they've smoked marijuana before.
Yeah. I remember you know, and not just with drugs with my kids, but with sex. At an early age, I talked to my children about it because I didn't want my kids going to school and hearing it, because when I was on the playground when we were first, second, third grade, people were saying things, kids were saying things that, you know, what?
And dude, yeah.
That weren't true, that they had heard, but it really wasn't the right thing. So I had learned things that weren't true necessarily. So I wanted my kids to be educated to know what, you know, what was being talked about.
Christian parents have an impossible task because on one hand, it's like, we want to shield them and shelter them from life in the world and culture and literally everything.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's like we want them to not be ignorant and gullible. Yeah. And so I think it's, what is it? Wise as serpents, but innocent, gentle as doves. Yeah. Because it's the idea that we need to prepare them, not necessarily condoning or being graphic in nature about it, but I talked to my boys at a really early age, and I remember talking to some friends who were like, whoa, 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 dude was only 7? And I'm like, yes, 7 years old, because guess what? Statistically speaking, most children by the age of 8 have in some form been exposed to a form of pornography.
Wow.
By the age of 8 years old. Yeah, and so it's like, okay, parents.
Just television today almost qualifies as
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. The internet. There's this thing called the internet where people can Google things. Yeah. Kids can get on there and Google something simple. And
or Instagram.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you right
people follow their icons, their heroes on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
They post some not cool stuff.
I will tell parents right now, if you are listening and you are a parent of young children, like the mom that chimed in the 8 o'clock hour on Facebook, I do apologize that she had to, you know, explain to her kid what a bong rip was or a bong hit or whatever. But on the flip side of that, I will say you're kidding yourself, Christian parents, if you say this term, oh, well, not my kids. Oh, well, not. My kids are different.
I guess unless you homeschool your kids and you keep them inside your home and church 24/7 and don't go.
No,
I mean,
which absolutely is not. Even
not
then.
Okay.
Even then. You honestly think within the youth group environment, nobody's talking about sex or alcohol or drugs or anything else?
Well, I know the youth pastors bring it up.
You know, but I'm just saying within the seats, You're kidding yourself if you don't think that this generation of children that are coming up are not already affected by it. My wife runs an elementary school, and sometimes I hear these stories from like second and third graders, and just things that I'm like, I can't remember it being like this when I was this young. But guess what? This is the fast food culture we live in, where it's instant exposure to the life, universe, and everything in it from the internet, whether it's the internet, television, no matter what it is, they're going to gain access. And if they don't, they're a friend or somebody around them is going to, and they're going to become curious and they're going to talk about it. So,
yeah.
338-3700.
Don't hide from the world, engage it.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, man.
Hey! Hey, buddy.
What are you guys doing?
Just chilling. Guys, it's Buck. It's my friend Buck.
Oh, I didn't even...
Hey.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe that Steve-O is the only person that knows my voice.
I didn't even know that.
Dude, I totally... Dude, Dexter just, like, perked up. Oh.
Yeah, I had no idea it was you.
It is my old life partner.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I just... How many times is this now? 17? How many times have I recognized you instantaneously? And
to call me your job wife.
Gosh, what a liar.
It's been a while, okay?
To be fair, we implemented weed breaks.
So what's up,
man?
What are you doing? Yeah. What have you been up to?
Yeah.
What's happening right now?
Hey, you better not be selling real estate high.
No, I'm not. No, I'm absolutely not doing that. I was actually surprised when I tuned in this morning, and you know, when I was in there on Friday, we had actually kind of discussed this a little bit. So
yeah.
I figured I'd call in and give my two cents.
Yeah, please do.
Do it.
So I think a lot of what this is, and I might be sounding like a bad Christian person here, but you know, I really think about, you know, when you weigh the two, you know, people kind of compare marijuana to alcohol, and, you know, you always hear this, the people kind of make the comparisons, like, you don't hear about a person going out and smoking some pot and killing a family of four on Christmas Eve. You know, I mean, everybody kind of refers back to the Gordon House story that happened, you know, years ago here in town. And I think the thing to think about, you know, you guys are talking about, like, you know, your waiter being stoned or whatever. I think the thing to think about is, you know, the advances that they've had with medical marijuana and the way that they can now kind of manipulate it, where, you know, they're giving it to cancer patients, where they're basically taking the THC out of it and they're lowering it, and they're just like, you know, kind of focusing on the pain-killing aspect of it, where it's really kind of proven that if you took opiates over a long period of time, A, you're going to get physically addicted, and B, it's really not good for your body, you know, as far as your liver, your kidneys, stuff like that. So I definitely see the positives in that.
Totally.
You know, and as far as like the recreational use, like you think about Colorado, and the word there is recreational.
Yeah.
So, as far as I'm concerned, there shouldn't be, you know, there shouldn't be a job that allows you to say, yeah, if you want to go, you know, smoke some pot on your break, that's fine.
Or eat a brownie.
Excellent point, because recreation and profession have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, the key word there is recreational. So it's like, whatever you do at your house, that's fine. As a Christian, you know, I mean, we're called not to be drunk.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that applies as well to, you know, to could apply to this situation as well.
Yeah.
You know, but then the question is out there is like, I mean, can you smoke pot without being, you know, without being drunk? You know, I mean, is it possible? And you know, I'm not sure, but you know, I know that. I don't know. It just kind of seems like the new, you know, almost like we're going through prohibition again at this point. You know, and
I will say one thing. I don't want to cut you off, Buck.
He doesn't want to, but he's going to.
Right.
Well, no. I mean, you brought up an interesting point that I'd love to speak to, and I'm coming from a place of experience, so I think that's why I want to chime in. Let's take the not be drunk, right, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's take that and examine the idea of, like, can you smoke a little weed and not be high? Here's another way that we can look at it, you know, as a Christian now. I can speak from a place of experience because in my early 20s, in my late teens, in my whatever, high school through college years, I will
last year I smoked
a lot of weed. And it's not something I'm like that I'm proud of that I'm saying, bro, listen. But I want to say that I'm prefacing it with I can speak from a place of experience because I smoked lots and lots of weed. All right. And even on the times, the days where it was like, bro, I have to work today. I'm only going to smoke like half a bowl, you know, just to get me going or whatever. Scripture calls us clearly to do everything as unto the Lord, right? 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 10:31 that says, whether food or drink, whatever you do it to the glory of the Lord. And I can say with full authority, from my perspective, for me, there is no way I could take a couple hits from a bong or like just smoke half a joint or whatever and then go to work and do my job as unto the Lord. Because in some form, I'd probably be a little lazier, a little like tired, maybe a little foggy minded. Maybe my mind's just kind of not all there. And I could not truly say that I was giving my best to my employer.
But I think Buck said the same. Buck was saying no recreational and professional. But I guess the question that he was bringing up is in the standpoint of recreational at your home as a Christian, can you smoke a little bit of weed and not be high and not be breaking the don't be drunk with wine mentality in the Bible?
I would watch 18 hours of Adventure Time and be a terrible dad. Like, I think there's no way.
Now again, I cannot speak from a place of experience. I've smoked weed, but not a lot. But I can say every time I've smoked weed, whether it was a little bit of weed or a lot of weed.
I loved it.
I can hear Linya in the car right now. Nathan!
Oh, no, she was the one that gave it to him.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Just kidding.
No, but
totally kidding.
You know, like,
everybody.
I remember the times that I smoked weed, it just took one joint to get you high.
Yeah.
Like, and I was by no means myself when I was. I was a different person. And so I think personally that you can. Now, I think you can work yourself into a place where it's like, okay, I've smoked enough weed now that now I can smoke one joint and not be totally high.
Gosh.
But I think that's the same standpoint of alcohol. You can drink like a plethora of alcohol and get yourself to a place where it's like, you know what, I'm an alcoholic now, so I can have five beers and not be drunk. And so I don't think that we want to get ourselves to that kind of a place in our lives.
It's not a brag, bro.
And I think here's the biggest thing. And I hear so many Christians say this. It's like, well, now that it's legal, does that mean that we as Christians can do it? I think we've talked about this before. The government promotes and condones a lot of things that aren't okay by the Bible. Just because the government says, hey, it's okay to get an abortion doesn't mean that it is. Just because the government says, hey, it's okay to get drunk doesn't mean that it is. Just because the government says that it's okay to do a lot of things doesn't mean that as Christians we're supposed to say, hey, the government says it's cool, so awesome, let's go do it, you know?
So what I'm hearing you say, Nate, is that, you know, basically we need to be very careful. It's almost like playing with matches.
Yeah.
You know, why even go down that road?
It is.
Because what if I do enjoy it, and then it becomes something that I want to do more?
Well, and here it is to me. This is the basic standpoint, and it's really what the Bible says, that basically the mentality is people like to sin, and we live in a culture that constantly pushes the limits. We live in a moral relativistic culture, and today it's pot. Tomorrow, again, we say, no way, this will never happen, but tomorrow it'll be heroin. Or it'll be cocaine, and people on the air say, no way, that's ever going to happen. Okay, 50 years ago, if you said pot was going to be legal, they'd say, no way, that would never happen. And so we live in a culture that is such a moral relativistic culture that where does the line get drawn? At what point do we say, you know what, as Christians, we are called to a higher standard? And I think the issue is bigger than marijuana. And I think the issue really comes down to a sense of, you know, what do we believe the Bible says? What do we believe as Christians the line is for us, not for the world? Because we can't look at the world, and it's stupid for Christians as well to get mad at the world and say, the world's smoking pot, pot's legal, Okay, the world's in darkness. Those who are in darkness walk in darkness, not in light. We can't expect the dark world to say, you know what, I think I'm going to stop getting drunk, I'm going to stop smoking pot, and I'm going to start going to church. We can't expect that.
Right.
And so I think that we shouldn't be shouting at the darkness, but at the same time, we shouldn't be in it ourselves.
Yeah. Did we Was that okay? Was that question?
I feel like the 1 Corinthians 10:31, like 17 minutes ago, they kind of covered all.
Caller, did we get your question in? Is that good?
You know what? I didn't even ask a question. I didn't even pay attention to what the words coming out of my mouth next. You know what? I'm just going to talk to Nate and Steve-O.
No, you're not. I'm hanging up on you.
I love you, buddy. You hang up on yourself. I love you. I knew it was you from the moment.
Hang up on yourself.
Aren't you all
Oh no! He did it.
I do not condone what just happened.
Praise the Lord.
Was that as under the Lord? Would you say that you just gave it your best there, Dexter?
That was amazing.
We gotta have Buck in here more, man. That's fine.
We do. I've never really been able to do that to him because I could shut his mic off, but he could punch me in the face.
I remember listening to you guys shut each other's mics off, and that was always funny. Yeah. It was a funny thing to listen to.
It is Shock Therapy Live. You guys call in if you have questions. Maybe you want to discuss the weed breaks. We were talking about it earlier in the show.
Dude, phone lines are blowing up.
Yeah,
people talking about
pot. Phone is blowing up too. I've got all these people like texting in with questions too. But let's get a phone call.
All about weed or
topics? This is definitely about weed, but you know.
Well, we got it. We take what the phone callers want to talk about.
Phone wins. Yeah. Phone wins.
Sorry.
So we should just answer it. Hey, do you want to talk about pot or something else?
Just a little bit about everything, really.
Okay, cool. Life, the universe, I mean, everything.
So how are we doing this morning,
friends? Hey, Rob.
We're doing great.
Great. Fantastic.
Dex, Kale.
Hey, buddy.
Friends.
Yeah.
Friends.
Hey, you know, I just wanted to chime in on this. You know, as Christians, we're called to be that light in the dark place. And I hate to sound like a broken record with the gentleman that was talking, but, you know, we're that version of Christ that some people may never see. And if we're out here talking about, you know, you could smoke half a joint, you could have just a beer or a little glass of wine or something, you know, I don't think that's really conveying, you know, God's message in truthfulness and in love that it should. Now, for the people that use it medically and, of course, you know, whatever you may need, but recreationally, we just can't be that light in the dark place with a little bit of darkness in us justifying and you know, rationalizing our worldly desires.
Preach it.
You know, like, especially for me, leading a youth group, I can't tell people don't drink, don't smoke, don't have sex, and all kinds of stuff, you know, outside of marriage, and then I turn around and do the same thing.
So basically,
get drunk.
No, stop
do
it.
Drugs
shut
and
up.
Have sex inside marriage.
No.
Nathan has sex, everyone.
Whatever.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
He's joking. He's joking.
Right.
You know, don't say, you know, let's follow the Bible, and then someone from my youth group sees me at Buffalo Wild Wings and I'm drinking a beer, but they don't know if that's my first or my tenth.
Right.
And then
they
have to tell their parents, well, who's that guy?
That's it right there. That's it.
Excuse me? Yeah. Kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, well, because it comes back to the relative fact that for me, if we say, hey, man, you know, just smoking a little weed. Well, to me, a little weed might be like a little quarter ounce. But if you ask Snoop what a little weed is, he might say a much different, you know, measurement
This leads us into a different part of the conversation with what he's bringing up. Because he's bringing up that outside of even a little weed, is it okay for Christians to drink a beer?
Yeah.
Is it okay for Christians to drink a glass of wine? Because his point of view is that
The question is it okay? Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. Is it okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Doesn't mean that you should.
Right.
I think I really believe that it comes down to personal convictions when it comes to that. And I think that's what the Bible
just last week when we were at B-dubs and you were like tanking them back. I'm just kidding.
Not true. Well, yeah. Not true.
Well, you can say stupid stuff, but I get in trouble.
But doesn't the Bible
I just said not true. I didn't say you're in trouble.
Doesn't the Bible specify, especially with leaders in the church?
Yes, you know, there are very different
Pastor Nate Heitzig, you being a pastor.
Do not be given to wine, do not be given to much wine. And even within that standpoint, you know, there's debate on what the word given implies.
Yeah.
You know, some Greek scholars will say that given implies being drunk.
Yeah.
But I have a hard time with that because it says that it's okay for some leaders to be drunk a little bit and some leaders to not be drunk at all. So I kind of take issue with that. I think it's a big debate within the church today, particularly in America, not so much in other countries.
Yeah, because other countries just drink.
Yeah.
And to his point, he was talking about being in the light versus being in the darkness. In Ephesians 5, yeah, I'm pulling out scripture.
No, that's good. Somebody needs to.
Coming. It's coming.
This is not a Christian station.
It says, walk as a as children of light, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Mm. So, meaning, you can't claim to be a Christian and then go and do things in secret and partially have a foot in the darkness. Like, yeah. You are to be separated.
Okay, I get invited to a party my friends are at. I go, but I don't drink. Is it okay for me to be at the party if everybody else is drinking?
With the darkness.
I think so, but I think a lot of you have to know your boundaries. There's a lot of Christians who say, you know, I'm just going to be a light in the darkness. I'm going to go to this party. I'm not going to drink. But they have a really big problem with drinking. They're setting themselves up to fail. They're setting themselves up to sin because for them, they feel like if they do that, that they're gonna end up regretting it the next morning. And so that's where I really say it really comes down to those personal convictions, to where people are. Because I know other Christians who are totally feel okay with going out and having a beer. And they're responsible. They're not going to drink five. They're not going to, you know, go down and get into a place of drunkenness. And I have no issue with that. But I think that's where it really comes down to each person knowing themselves, each person knowing the convictions that the Holy Spirit has laid on their heart. Within that, because again, drinking a glass of wine, it's a gray area. It's not a black area. It's not a white area. It's a gray area. It's not like, again, weed. You can't smoke a joint and not be high. To me, that's a black area. That's a non-issue. But alcohol,
it's more of a green area.
It is more of a gray area within that.
No green.
And so I think that it really comes into that personal conviction standpoint, and also people knowing themselves, knowing their tendencies, and knowing their limits.
I also think it comes to knowing your friends, like. Yeah. If you know what is a party? Is a party a gathering where you're all getting intoxicated? Or is
we're
it
all
like,
getting
hey,
intoxicating, guys.
Guys.
She's
guys,
a little intoxicated.
I'm intoxicated this morning. I haven't had my coffee, so I slur my words.
It's okay.
Anyways.
Amsterdam coffee.
So it's also depends on the people you hang out with. Do I think it's wrong to go to a gathering of people where, you know, somebody might over drink? No, but you don't sit there and encourage them.
Yeah,
hey, like, have another. Hey, buddy, have another. Yeah. I think you're the opposite. You're the light and say, bud, I think you've had enough. Like,
let me drive you home.
We talk parties. Like, when I was in high school, a party was just an excuse to get drunk with your friends.
Exactly.
Whereas, like, parties for adults, it's like, hey, somebody invites you to a UFC party. Everyone's eating food. There's drinks. People are drinking. Do I think there's anything wrong with going to a party like that? No, I don't. Do I think that even if you, as a Christian, go to that party and you decide that you want to have a beer, that there's nothing wrong with that? Maybe, depending on who you are. Yeah. Again, if you feel like by doing that, if you're self-conscious, you feel like you're going to be stumbling people, if you feel convicted by doing that, or if you feel like it could lead you to having more, then you shouldn't do it.
Well, that's why up front you talk to those people, because you say, hey, friend, what kind of party? Let's outline this. I know many of friends who will say, hey, man, we get the UFC fights regularly. Would it be okay if I brought, you know, this or that? Okay, well, let's check out who's coming to the party. And yeah, I want to make sure that everybody's comfortable.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I'm having a gas. And I never go, come to my house for a party, guys. I just say, hey, you want to hang out?
And again, that goes to being a Christian. We're supposed to esteem our brothers and sisters higher than ourselves.
Yeah. Dex, you've had your hand raised for 20
minutes. We never want to put somebody in an uncomfortable position where they feel like we're causing them to stumble. Yeah. And so that's why, you know, I think it's important to ask those questions. It's important to don't ever do anything so cavalier. Like, I don't care what people think. I don't care. You know, I've got freedom in Christ. I'm going to do what I want. That's arrogance.
Yep.
And there's no place for that in the Christian walk. I think be considerate. Have a conversation about it. And then if you feel like at the end of it, like, hey, this is okay, I feel fine with that, then then go for it. Again, we're talking about beer. We're not talking about like, hey, I can talk about. I feel comfortable with marijuana. I'm okay with it. My friends are okay with it. I'm going to go for it. We're talking specifically about beer. Wine, not other substances.
Absinthe, you know.
It is Shock Therapy Live, 338-3700. Good morning.
Hey.
Hey, go ahead.
What's up, Dex? How you doing, man?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Pretty good. Hey, I just wanted to chime in and just basically say a few things. I smoked until I was the early stages of my Christian walk. I smoked when I was 13 until... maybe about a few years ago. It wasn't until I truly heard the gospel and understood it and it clicked that I gave up everything that I was struggling in the darkness, like what you guys are talking about. Romans 12:1 says that we're supposed to be, we're called to be set apart. And that's what basically clicked in my journey, in my walk. I just wanted to give a little bit of my testimony about this struggle. I smoked for years, and that was the last thing that I was battling with.
Hmm.
And it wasn't until I heard the gospel and it finally clicked, like I said, and I gave it up. It wasn't until I heard what Jesus did for me on the cross, and that we're called to be holy like our God, and we're called to walk set apart. We're called to be in this world, but not of it. And it wasn't until I started opening up the Word of God in understanding these things, and little by little, God was just purging out the sin, purging it out, just taking it all out. And I understand, you know, what we're living in this world, and people think, you know, it's okay to smoke, but it's not. As a Christian, it's not. It's totally not.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you right now, we homeschool our kids, and like what you guys were talking about earlier, homeschool kids go through the same issues.
Mm.
My kid was going through those issues as well.
Mm. Do you get together with other homeschooled kids?
Oh, definitely, man. With our church, you know, we have groups that get together. We have our small groups that get together, and we'll pour out to each other and let each other know what our kids are struggling with. And like I said, my kid was struggling with peer pressure.
Mm.
And there's a lot of kids, even in youth group. I'm a leader at my church in a youth group.
Mm.
And there's kids that are struggling with that stuff, too, peer pressure, big time.
Yeah. It's a good point.
You know, thinking that that's okay and to be a Christian and smoke and, you know, and not be set apart, and also the sex issue and everything like that as well. But like I said,
that's,
man,
awesome.
You guys are hitting everything right on the head, and
Amen.
It's just right on point. And I just want to give you guys a big ups to what you guys are talking about
you
right
too,
now.
Man.
People
you
need
too.
To hear it. And,
dude,
and,
congratulations
like,
on quitting that, man. That's
yeah.
so
Oh,
that's
yeah,
so
yeah.
Great.
Like I said, glory to God for that. You know what I'm saying?
That's awesome, dude.
Glory to God for that, because that was a big struggle in my life. And I actually did it in the church. It was hidden. It wasn't, you know,
a lot of people
I did
do.
It in the church.
Yeah.
I would smoke, go to church, even serve in the church.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it was just in me that I was struggling with, thinking that was okay to do.
Yeah.
But little by little, God was purging it out, like I said. But
That's good, man.
Thank you guys for talking about this topic. People need to hear about it. It's good.
Dude, thank you for the call.
Keep up the good work,
Thanks,
guys.
Brother. Take care.
Yeah.
Solid points.
I just wanted, I'm jumping.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump back to sex real quick, just because I thought of our son. And our son, meaning Nathan and mine.
Oh,
we don't all
okay.
have one.
Good. Jeez. I was like, hey, shh.
Jeez. Shh. I thought that was a secret.
You guys can have him for a little while if you want.
No, I've got three. I'm good.
Let's think about it. His innocent mind, when it came to sex, he didn't ask about sex. He asked about where babies came from. And that happened when he was like 3 and a half.
Yeah.
And that opens the doors to having the conversation of sex. And you kind of have to, I don't know, navigate around that in a way. But honestly, I think a lot of these things for kids, even at young ages, when it starts, when you're saying, oh, I told my 7-year-old about sex and just the purity and all these things. Yeah, you have to when they are questioning and wanting to know about life and things that are involved in life at 3 and a half, 4 years old.
And you have to, parents, dude, you have to get involved in your kids' lives. You have to have those conversations. And they can be simple. Last night.
And grow over time.
Yeah, dude.
The conversation,
absolutely.
Like, the conversation I've had with my 5-year-old about sex right now is not the conversation that I'm going to have with him
but
when
you,
he's
but you don't
10
say,
and then when he's 15.
Oh, man. Kid was 7 years old. I told him the story. I'm donezies. And you check out. You can't do that because you're right. Their brain is developing and growing, and they're going to have different kinds of questions, and the conversation has to continue. You can't check that off your list and go, had the sex talk, I'm done. And I think that's what a lot of people do as well. Last night, I was driving my kid to baseball, my 12-year-old, and he was just talking, you know, nonchalant about the morning show. Nothing deeper than that. I was like, bro, heard the pet peeves
was
story.
Was it about me? I said something funny.
It was pet peeves. Yeah. It was pet peeves. And what's a pet peeve? Explain
pet
peeves.
We never did that topic, did we?
We did. We talked about it.
I don't remember.
And he goes, but you never said yours. What's your pet peeve? Like, what's a pet peeve? You know, and I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like, bad breath, I guess, could be. You know, and I'm talking to him. And I said, well, what's your pet peeve? You know, because I realized, wait, why is he asking? He's probably asking me this because he wants to share something. And sure enough, he said, I guess it'd be the way that people are mean and look down at you.
Aww.
And I said,
oh my goodness.
Right.
Who?
And I'm like,
I'm going to kill him.
Well, no. And I was like, what do you mean by that, buddy? And he said, when we were at Disneyland, I just noticed, like, if we were in line or if we were doing something and somebody around me didn't like that, like, we'd be standing there. And I just kept noticing people would just, like, give mean looks and just not stop looking at me. And I was like, okay, well, let's, you know, and then we had
let's write a letter to the mouse.
Not right.
Let's take care of it.
Well, we had this big conversation about how it can make you feel and whether it was bullies or whatever it was, or just are not paying attention to it because maybe they weren't and you were taking it out of context, you know, type things. But dude, kids are dealing with stuff that we don't even think about or realize, you know?
They're going to, and again, they're going to get exposed to it, whether they're,
yeah,
you know, in a homeschool, in a church, in, you know, regular school, they're going to get exposed
Disneyland.
To it.
Disneyland.
I mean, I know Steve told me about that time when your kids walked in on you guys and then you had to tell the story.
My.
Has that ever happened to you guys?
Gosh!
Has that ever happened to you?
Has
it ever happened to you?
I'm staring at my phone and not looking at the three raised hands in this room.
I'm
going
to share a somewhat embarrassing story.
No!
So,
no! Your wife's in the room, bro! It's different if we're dudes hanging out. You can't share this with her right there.
It's
staring at my phone, checking my email. Dex, I'm going to that video game. Going to my special place.
So mom and dad were having special time.
Oh,
and and we locked the door and we told the kids to go play. Well, they went outside to go play in the playground.
Texting Lynn right now, telling her to chime in.
No, this was a long time ago. This was a long, like,
Would
Seth
you share
was,
this conversation at Thanksgiving
Seth
with
was probably
your three.
Oh,
your mom.
Stop interrupting me.
Seriously.
Seth was probably 3 years old and they were out playing on the playground. And later on, they came inside and Seth was like, Dad, can I ask you a question? He's like, what's up, buddy? He's like, why were you and mom wrestling naked?
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Well, no, he didn't think he could kiss me like this.
Oh, man.
I gotta go. I gotta leave.
No, but then when that happens, you have to have a conversation about it. You can't be like,
no, demon baby.
You can't be like, Seth, we're not like,
nah, bro.
Just forget about that. That didn't really happen. Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, you got to have a conversation about that.
You do.
I would like to share mine if I can.
Yes.
Phone lines are jammed. Phone lines are open. 338-3700. Please call.
You're like an uncomfortable prepubescent boy.
Yes, he is, and he has three boys. He's
Mom
doomed.
And Dad just shut his
he just shut his mic off.
I did. I totally shut off his mic. All right. So this is my story.
Cool,
okay.
Bro.
So, we're having, what did you call it?
Special time.
Special time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Having some special time.
We tell Katie we're praying.
And,
we do.
Our youngest son was, our bedroom was upstairs and then the rest of the house was downstairs. And, for some reason, we usually always lock the door, you know, that someone always checks. And, for some reason we didn't check and he ran up those stairs and he turned the corner.
Mm-mm.
And we looked at him, our eyes connected. And the look on poor little Landon's face was, I just ruined my child.
You're killing mommy!
Yeah, I ruined. Yeah, it was. And so we laid there.
I gotta go.
For about 30 minutes and didn't say a word while we knew Landon was downstairs, probably hiding somewhere.
Oh, no.
In a closet, shaking back and forth.
Yeah.
Rocking himself.
Of course, my wife goes, you have to handle this. It's all you. You have to go talk to him. And I,
which, by the way, ladies, thanks for that one.
Thank you.
Thank you for giving us that one.
So you got a public service videotape, VHS, put it in and said, hey, watch this, son.
Nope.
I walked downstairs, and I remember seeing him on the couch. He wouldn't make eye contact with me.
That's cool.
And,
that's because the last time he made eye contact with
you. No, seriously.
It was a very different situation there, Dexter.
Things have never been the same between us.
Gosh.
No, but we had a talk. You know, there was a time where, you know, I think it was the next day we went for a drive and we had the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, it
was, how old was he?
He was seven. I believe 17.
17. Oh,
he's 10
yes.
now, so he was seven. He was about seven.
Yeah.
And it was that I hadn't had the talk with him yet.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember having the talk with Kayla when he was around 7 or 8. And so it was the perfect opportunity to.
Well, not quite the perfect opportunity.
Well, yeah. I wish he wouldn't have you know, been exposed to that. But yeah,
You got to have those conversations, and again, they're gonna get exposed to it in one way or another. And in the context of marriage, you have the opportunity to have a really great conversation with them, explaining to them, you know what. That mommy and daddy love each other so much, and you have an opportunity to talk about the context of marriage and the context of what the Bible says and the context of that what can be beautiful in the eyes of the Lord and what, you know, can hurt the heart of the Lord. And so you have a great opportunity within the confines of a Christian marriage to have that conversation with your kids.
338-3700. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Thanks for holding.
Yeah, this conversation took a bit of a turn from...
Bro.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No,
it's okay.
It went from PG to R.
I apologize for my friends.
I don't know that pot's PG. It went from PG-13 to...
to X-rated.
Not at all. So, a couple things about the pot. Something that hasn't been thought about is marijuana today is so much stronger than when I was in high school and college, and that you could use it and function is kind of scary in and of itself. And I haven't read any studies that say, you know, doing a little pot is good for you, as though, you know, a glass of wine can be good for your heart, red wine, but yeah.
Yeah, Paul told Timothy, take a little wine.
You know, yeah. a joint a day it enhances your body in any way. So, yeah.
What if Paul would have told Timothy, hey, smoke a blunt before bed?
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't say that.
I don't get the creativity thing. It just, you know, actually have a cup of coffee. That'll wake you up more than...
Yeah, take the Christian drug.
Caffeine,
come on.
but also, I just want to echo everything that you guys have said about talking with your kids. And for the mom that was upset, you know, Steve-O, you did her a favor. there's reality. Talk to your kids about everything and be unshockable.
Yeah, dude.
It's good. So, that's the heart of the show, unshockable listeners. That's why we called it Shock Therapy Live, because we want to be unshockable listeners and be able to deal with and talk about anything. We don't, maybe Steve-O blushed a little bit a while ago. We don't blush, you know, hearing about your stories, hearing about what's going on.
I only blush because you're talking about you and Janae, and I'm staring at both of you. That's just...
Can you lock eye contact, lock eyes with me so I can tell you the story?
Like Seth did? No, man, I'm good.
He didn't lock eyes. He was lurking, standing on his playground.
Well, he's your kid.
Probably staring.
Oh, man.
Hey, stop it. You're making our son
gotta
let it go.
I got
our
something.
Our son is not Michael Myers.
Jody hit me up on Facebook with this back to the legalization of smoking weed and whatnot. For those that are, whether you're in an industry that allows it or not, here's something to think about, because whether you want to recreational smoke it at 11 p.m. or take a lunch break, there are no drug tests that can tell someone when they smoked marijuana.
Right.
So it won't say like, hey, you were high at 4 p.m. or you were high at 11 p.m.
Yeah. Or 3 weeks ago.
So doctors, surgeons, nurses, she actually works, she's a healthcare worker. She'll never be able to partake for that very reason, that they can't tell you, you know, when you were high. So if they choose to drug test you and you're like, nah, bro, it was recreation, it was at home, it's okay.
Yeah.
You could still lose your job.
Yeah.
So things
kind of like
think
doing
about
a little bit of steroids and playing professional sports.
Yeah, but that's kind of illegal all the time. Shout out to Beetlejuicers. That is my fantasy football name.
338-3700.
Great name.
Good morning.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, man.
Good. How are you?
Going, bro.
I'm doing good. Just want to say, love you all. You guys are awesome. Buck, good to hear you back on the radio again.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, Buck.
My name's Dex, by the way.
No, but he was talking about Buck calling in earlier.
Oh, you're talking about Buck.
You were talking about Buck calling in earlier, bro. I'm saving you. Shut up.
I thought you were talking about him.
No, he was talking about us.
He's just really nervous, guys.
Long-time listener, first time caller.
It's Buck and Dex.
Yeah.
It would help if Dex here changed his Instagram to something other than Buck and Dex. Just saying.
Anyway, I wanted to bring up about people that are like kind of sheltering their kids. I mean, I know it's like a crazy world, and you know they're the highlight of your world. But me, I ran into pornography when I was 7 years old, and I didn't hear it from anybody. I found it all on my own just because I accidentally spelled DisneyChannel.com wrong, and it kind of just popped up, and I was just like, "What the heck?" And in complete honesty, I did this. I found this basically in front of my mom while she was sleeping. And that was all downhill. And to this day, I still struggle with it.
Man.
And it was just something that was so mind-blowing to me at that time because I didn't know anything about it. I didn't really get that talk. I didn't really I didn't get that talk until I was 13 years old, you know. So I just wanted to kind of put in my my little experience for people that are kind of like, you know, I'm going to wait until they're older.
No, it's so true, especially in this day and age with technology. As parents, we really have to be so careful with smartphones, iPads, just the computer, because without the software, you know, that we can put on those devices, they could stumble upon it and then be in the same situation that you're in. You know, I discovered Playboy magazines and Penthouse when I we lived next to the dump, the town dump, and so I used to go dumpster diving and I found a box full of nudie magazines, and that's how I was exposed to. Yeah,
and that's why it's always just been the issue has always been sin, and so it's easy for us to grow in the culture and say, well, it's technology, and so it's easier to access. You know, I was exposed to pornography when I was in a Page One bookstore and I saw a magazine on a top shelf and I was like, what is that? And I was a little kid. And so, again, the issue isn't technology. The issue isn't – we can find a million issues to as a culture say, well, it's because my kids are growing up in this age. No, it's not. When you were a kid, you were exposed to the same stuff. Mm-hmm. It's the issue is human beings. It's sin. That's the issue.
Yeah. It is Shock Therapy Live. Good morning.
Yeah, back to what you guys were saying on the marijuana and legalization in the workplace. There's jobs that will never allow that. I'm a truck driver, and I have to be careful about when I even drink alcohol, because if I consume too much alcohol the night before I go driving, if you have 0.00001% alcohol in your blood, you can get arrested for a DWI.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So I've chosen not to drink alcohol, period, just because it can mess everything up. And I've had friends in the industry who Super Bowl Sunday have a great night, and then next morning he went out and he T-boned a car, and he's sitting in jail because of it.
Yep.
Dude, God bless you for being a truck driver. You know, Papa drove a truck nearly all his life. Drove Mama crazy being a trucker's wife. But
that's
I had to quote that song.
Thanks.
Thanks, buddy.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, man.
Garth Brooks, he solves everything. Come on.
Well, we are out of time.
No!
Yes, we are. We're out of time.
Darn it.
That was a fast hour, huh?
Praise be. Praise be.
Quick.
Looking at you, Janae.
Yeah.
And look at the phone lines are still.
No!
Phone lines are still blowing up.
He keeps bugging me.
Dude!
Tell him.
Steve-O?
Hey, yeah.
Talk to your kids, bro. Elementary
and
school walking
your,
home
to
the bus.
Could somebody please talk to Steve-O?
Yes, please talk to me about it.
Could someone please explain to him?
But not my friends uncomfortably while I'm in the room with both spouses.
We're really open about talking about it. Okay. We're like really cool like that. Like, we're not ashamed. We're married and we love each other. Okay.
If you couldn't get through South the phone lines.
As her voice got deeper.
And deeper.
You guys can hit us up at studio at star88.fm.
I love you.
Yikes.
You can hit us up if you have any questions. If you wanted to discuss what we were discussing, we'd love to hear from you. You can hit us up on Facebook. And Pastor Nate Heidsick, Janae.
People are like, wait, he was a pastor?
Yeah. And then his wife came on and he was like,
yeah.
Oh,
saved the show.
Can't look her in the eye ever again. Sweet.
All right. Thanks for coming in, you guys.
Can't look Seth in the eye ever again.
All right. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow morning.